Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Lamed Tet. Today's daf has been dedicated by Josie and Joey Shrem in honor of their parents Sam and Norma Shrem. Today's daf is being studied at Fu'as Shalema Nizha Bat Sara Simcha. Elna refana la betuch she'ar chole amo Yisrael. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Lelu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther and Rabbi Baruch Rafael ben Miriam. Ruach Hashem tenichem began Eden. Amen. We are beginning on daf lamed chet amud sheni, the Mishnah on the bottom of the daf. And the Mishnah says, אין נותנים ביצה בצד המחם בשביל שתתגלגל. One is not allowed to place an egg on the side of the kettle in order for it to literally roll. Meaning, once you roast the egg, so now it becomes able to spin it, as she says, and roll. So therefore they would call a roasted egg until it's able to roll. So you're not allowed to do that on Shabbat. The Gemara will explain what the Chiddush is. Ve'lo yefki'enna besudarim. Furthermore, you're not allowed to crack an egg open on a sudar. So that would be, let's say, a scarf that was heated in the sun. So it's very hot. So you're not allowed to crack an egg on that scarf in order to cook it. But Rabbi Yose matir. But Rabbi Yose says it's mutar. Now, this case over here is what we call toldat hamah. That is something that got heated by the sun. The sudar is hot from the sun. So we have a machloket hachamim and Rabbi Yose. If one that cooks through toldat hama, is it hayab or not? Hachamim say yes, Rabbi Yose says no. The first case, however, everybody agrees is hayab. Why? Because the meham is called toldat ha'ur. Because how did the kettle get hot? From the fire. So they were placing the egg on the side of the kettle would be called cooking through something that got heated through fire. That's called toldat ta'ur. So it seems that when it comes to toldat ta'ur, everybody agrees it's hayav. While toldat hama, we have a machlok al hakamim and Rabbi Yose. Hakamim say hayav, Rabbi Yose says katur. Or mutar, actually. Next case, third case of the Mishnah. Ve'lo yatminena be'chol u'abak derachim b'shvir shetetzleh. And one is not allowed to bury the egg into, let's say, sand or abak derachim, or the dirt that's on the road, in order to roast it. Now, seemingly, the sand is able to cook the egg because it's hot. Where is it hot from? The sun. So that's called todat hama again. And here, the Biyur said does not argue. So obviously the Gemara is going to ask a question, why when it came to the Sudarim, the Biyose said, Toldat Chama is Mutar. And why when it came to the case of putting it in the sand, it seems the Biyose agrees that it is Hayav. That's a question that the Gemara will deal with. Next case, Maaseh, She'asu Anche Tiberia. Story of the people of Tiberia, Ve'viyu Silon Shel Sonen, לתוך אמה של חמים. They did is, before Shabbat, they set up a pipe. The pipe went from a body of cold water, the cold water ran through the pipe, and this pipe ran through a spring of hot water. For example, the Tiberias hot springs, Hamet Tiberia. So you had a pipe of cold water running through under the Hamet Tiberia, so the pipe was getting insulated, it was getting hot. it came out on the other side into a little ditch. So it basically was, they were doing water, they were heating water on Shabbat. Cold water would come in the pipe that was running through Hamei Tiberia. The waters were not coming in contact with Hamei Tiberia. According to the Tosafot, that's the way we're going to explain this case. If you look in your Pirush Chai, you can probably see a picture of the Silon case of Maaseh Tiberia. It would be... Okay, you can see number... you want to see the Tosafot? We explained it according to the Ri, that's 324. Where the pipe is running through the Hamei Tiberia and it's coming out on the other side. Rashi, if you see in 322, the way they're understanding it is the Silon is just emptying out into the Hamei Tiberia and it's cooling it off. So the Machloket, is it falling into the Hamei Tiberia, the cold water? Or is it the pipe going through? We're explaining it according to the Ri that it's going through. So what happened? Ma'aseh she'asu anchei Tiberia ve'eviu Silon shel Sonen l'toch Amma shel Chamin. Amru lahem Chamin. So the rabbi said, im b'Shabbat, if this got heated over Shabbat, kechamin she'uchamu b'Shabbat, so it's considered like hot water that I got heated on Shabbat, v'asurin b'chitza, and what is going to be forbidden to bathe with it, u'bishtiya, and drink it, forbidden. Im b'yom tov, if this happened on Yom Tov, kechamin she'uchamu b'yom tov, it'll have a status of hot water that got heated on Yom Tov, v'asurin b'chitza, be forbidden to bathe in it, umutarim b'shtiya, but permissible to drink it. The Gemara will explain exactly the laws of Shabbat and Yom Tov regarding bathing. Comes the Gemara says, "Ba'ayelu, we have a question. Gilgel mai. What's the deen if somebody roasted the egg on the side of the meham?" So the Gemara is asking, "What is the deen regarding toldat ha'ur? If somebody cooks something not directly on the fire, when you put something on the fire, that's ur, that's the fire mamash. Here you're roasting it by putting it on the side of the kettle that got heated on the fire." So the Gemara wants to know, Gilgel Mai, what's the deen of cooking through Toldat Ha'ur? Amar Rav Yosef, Gilgel Hayav Hatat. He says, yes, Toldat Ha'ur is considered Hayav Hatat. Amar Mor Bered Ravina Afra Namitanina. We also learned this in his statement. What's the statement? The statement is, actually in Mishnah, Kol sheba bechamin milifnei Shabbat, shorin oto bechamin b'Shabbat. What does the statement mean? Kol sheba bechamin milifnei Shabbat. Anything that was cooked, literally it means anything that came into hot water before Shabbat, you're allowed to soak it in hot water on Shabbat. Which literally means, if it was cooked in a Kli Rishon is the pot that is on the fire, that's called a Kli Rishon. So if it was cooked before Shabbat, this item, so now on Shabbat you'd be allowed to put it in a Kli Rishon. Why? Because en bishul achar bishul. Because it's cooked already. You can't cook something twice. So the first deen is called Shabbat b'chamin milfnei Shabbat. Anything that was placed in a Kli Rishon waters before Shabbat, meaning it was cooked, shorin oto b'chamin b'Shabbat. You're allowed to stick it in hot water on Shabbat. What is that hot water? A Kli Rishon. Why? And bishul, achar bishul. Next din. V'chol shelo ba b'chamin milfnei Shabbat. However, if, let's say, it was not cooked from before Shabbat, meaning it was not placed in hot water before Shabbat, which means basically you have something that is raw. Madihin oto b'chamin b'Shabbat. Then you're only allowed to be what's called madiyah. What is madiyah? So according to one opinion in the Tosafot, it means you're actually pouring from a Kli Rishon on top of it. That's called Irui Kli Rishon. According to one Shita in the Tosafot, when you pour from a Kli Rishon, it does not have the ability to cook. Only when you stick it in a Kli Rishon does it have the ability to cook. But pouring from a Kli Rishon over raw food does not have the ability to cook, according to one Shita in the Tosafot. That's considered Irui Kli Rishon Kikli Sheni. We know the rule, Kli Sheni, that's a second vessel, does not have the ability. So some opinions hold as well that Eirui Kli Rishon is also that way. So the Mishnah would be saying like this. If it did not get cooked before Shabbat, no problem. You could pour from a Kli Rishon on it on Shabbat. Why can't you put it in a Kli Rishon? No, if you put it in a Kli Rishon, then it's going to cook. So you're only allowed to be Madiyah. Chutz min ha-maliyah yashan, except for what's called maliyah yashan and kulyas ispanin. These over here literally means the old fish, and kulyas ispanim is another type of fish that she says dag shekorim tunina, which these items are very, very sensitive and they get cooked very fast. Shaddahatan zui gemar melachtan, which is even by pouring from a kli rishon on these items, can cook them. Which is regular food, pouring from a kli rishon, eirui kli rishon cannot cook them. However, these items, they're very sensitive items, which means they get cooked very fast. So even though they weren't cooked from before Shabbat, you're not allowed to pour from a kli rishon on them. Why? Because that is considered gemar melachtan. What's gemar melachtan? That is be considered cooking them. Shma minna. We have a proof. What's the proof? Well, we were trying to prove that, how do you know toldat ta'ur is chayav? Well, we just proved it from the case of kulyas ispanim. By pouring hot water from a kli rishon, this hot water from a kli rishon is considered toldat ha'ur. How did the hot water become heated? From the fire. And what are we saying? When you pour it over the fish, it's considered gemar melachto. Gemar melachto means it's considered cooking. What do you see from here? You see from here that toldat ta'ur is considered chayav. Shma minna, so we have a proof positive. Now that's one way of learning this statement. However, Shitat HaTosafot has a different opinion as well. You look in the Tosafot, the Buri Matchil Kol Sheba, he brings Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam holds Irui Kli Rishon to Kli Rishon. That not only putting something in a Kli Rishon has the ability to cook, but also pouring from a Kli Rishon has the ability to cook. So therefore we have to explain what it says in the second line. If it wasn't cooked before Shabbat, this item, madihin oto b'chamin, doesn't mean you're pouring from a Kli Rishon. Because pouring from a Kli Rishon will cook it. It must mean that you're pouring from a Keli Sheni. Now, the Tosafot asks, oh, so pouring from a Kli Sheni doesn't cook. Very good. But why did you have to say pouring from a Kli Sheni? Why don't you just say, you can even put it in a Kli Sheni. Once already you're jumping to Kli Sheni. So there's two answers over here. One Shita says, that wouldn't be forbidden. That wouldn't be permissible. Because putting something raw in a Kli Sheni would be considered mechzikim bashil. It's considered, looks like you're cooking. Which is a big chidush. Even though a Kli Sheni cannot cook, we agree, but taking something raw, sticking it in a Kli Sheni on Shabbat, according to one Shita Tosafot, that would be asud. You could only pour from a Kli Sheni, a Irui Kli Sheni. According to another Shitan, it says, no, it's permissible to put it in, which means when it said Madihin, it's really Hu Adin Shorin. That not only could you pour from it, but you could actually place it in. So it comes out we have three ways of learning over here, this case of something that's raw, Madihin Oto B'Shabbat. Madihin either means you could pour from Irui Kli Rishon, you could make Irui Kli Sheni, or you could actually place it in a Kli Sheni. Those are the three she taught that you have to know from the Tosafot. In any event, our proof positive here again was what? That since you see by the Kulyas Espanim, by these sensitive fish over here, they get cooked even by pouring hot water over them. Now that hot water is considered a toldat ha'ur, because the hot water got heated from a fire, and still it says what? It's gemar melachtan. What's gemar melachtan? Their melacha is considered complete. That's considered bishul. So you see what? That toldat ta'ur is chayav. Comes the gemara and says, ve'lo yafkiyah inna besudarim. One should not crack the egg open into scarves that became heated in the sun. Gemara says, ve'had etan, that which we learned in the Mishnah. Notnin tavshil letoch habor. You're able to place a cooked food in a board, in a pit, on Shabbat, b'shvir shiyesh shamur. because you want to protect it. And the board, it seems in the bottom of the ground, it's cool over there. So you don't want the tafshil to spoil. They didn't have refrigeration in those days. So where would they put it? They would stick it underneath the ground in a cool spot. You're allowed to put good water in bad water in order for it to cool off. Meaning you're insulating, actually. You're taking a jug of good water and you want to make it cold. So you can drop the bottle into a cold, dirty water in order for the good water in the bottle to become cold. And you could also place cold water in the sun. Take a glass of cold water and you just place it outside into the sun in order for it to become hot on Shabbat. Now the Gemara says, Lema Rabbi Yosei Velo Rabbanan. That must be Rabbi Yosei. Because Rabbi Yosei allowed us to cook through something that got heated by the sun. So we're assuming over here that this is the same thing. Putting cold water in the sun would be Rabbi Yosei's opinion. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Nachman now. Behama de kulama la peligi de shari. Putting it in the sun itself, like this case, everybody holds hama is mutar. Cooking through direct sun is mutar according to everybody. Why? So that she tells us the end derech b'shulo bekach. That is not the derech to cook like that on Shabbat. And we don't suspect that if you allow a guy to cook with the sun, that they're going to come and say, oh, if I can cook with the sun, I can cook with fire. People do not make a mistake between the sun and fire. So bechama kulama lo peligi mutar. On Shabbat, you could take a cold glass of water, stick it outside in the sun, let the sun boil it. No problem. Now, betulda ta'ur kulama lo peligi de asur. And for that matter, everybody agrees that toldat ta'ur, something that got heated by fire, everybody agrees is asur. Which means toldat ta'ur, like we just learned, the case of the meham, where you're putting the egg on the side of the meham, that would be considered toldat ha'ur. So we have the extremes. Hama itself, everybody says mutar. Toldat ha'ur, everybody says asur. So what's the argument? Ki peligi betoldat ha'ma. The argument between Hakim and Rabbi Yosei is on something that got heated by the sun. For example, these sudarim, these scarves over here. The guy went out, he left the scarves out in the sun for 10 hours, now they became boiling hot. Now he wants to take an egg and crack it on these scarves. So what's cooking it? The heat of the scarves, but the heat of the scarves came from the sun. That's called Toldat Hama, Mahlok al-Hakim and Rabbi Yosei. Mor sabar gazdin and toldat hama atu toldat ha'or ha'ur, which means hachamim say we make a gezerah. Toldat hama is going to be forbidden because the person will come to confuse it with toldat ha'ur. Meaning, if somebody sees the scarf hot, he's not going to know what got it hot. He'll say, "Oh, maybe this got hot from the fire." So therefore, we'll say if they allow you to put it on the sudarim over there that are hot, so I go put it on the side of the me'alam. What's the difference? This is hot. This is hot. Toldat ha'ur. Umor sabah lo gazina. The Yosei says, no, we don't make a gezira. Todat hama mutar, todat ta'ur asur. So really that's the three cases you have to remember in this sugya. Hama, kule alma mutar. Todat ta'ur, kule alma asur. Todat hama mahloket. Rabbi Yosei does not make a gezira. How can we make a gezira? Todat hama atu, todat ha'ur. Comes again on Velo Yitmin in Bachol. Now, we said you're not allowed to take an egg and bury it in the sand on Shabbat in order to cook it. So comes again and says, Veliflog name Rabbi Yosei Beha. How come Rabbi Yosei did not argue on this case? Which means this is exactly a case of Toldat Hama. Because the sand got heated by the sun, and therefore Rabbi Yosei should say, Mutar. Our Mishnah says, no, according to everybody, you cannot stick it in the sand. What happened to Rabbi Yosei? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shekuni Al Baruch. So comes the Gemara and says, Rabba Amar Gezira Shema Yatmin Beremetz. So Rabba says, you're right, this is a different issue over here. This is not an issue over here of Toldat Hama over here. The issue of it is when you stick something in sand in order to, let's say, heat it up,
The issue we're concerned about is we're worried that you might come to use hot ashes. And what's the problem if you come to use hot ashes? Hot ashes already is forbidden. That's already, it has coals in there. And then already you're actually cooking in the coals and you can have a problem. So therefore it leads to an isur. Which means from the Toldat Chama aspect, no problem. It's the fact that you use sand. That's the issue over here. When you stick something in sand on Shabbat, so now we're worried, I got cooked, so what? Toldat Chama. What do I care? The Biyoseh. I mean, you're right. But if we allow you to put it in that, a guy might come to put it in Remetz. He might bury it in Remetz, which is Ash. Now that already would be forbidden. So comes again what she says, Shema Yatmin Beremetz. Let's read that inside. Demand the Hazeh Sabar Mechdi. A guy that sees what's going on here, he'll say, Hayle Beshudeh V'Hayle Beshudeh. He'll say, what's the difference? The sand is cooking, and Remetz is cooking. The ashes are cooking. The hot ash. V'Tarvayu Derech Atmanah. And they're both being insulated. Mali Remetz, Mali Chol, Mali Chol. So that's why the B.Y.S.A. agrees, according to Rabbah. Sheme Yatmin Beremetz. Comes again, Maran says, incidentally, why is Remetz Asur? Well, Remetz is obviously Todat Ta'ur. Remetz, we know, everybody will hold this permitted. So anyway, this can lead to that. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, Mepenei shemeziz afar memekomo. Rabbi Yosef has a different reason. Because you are displacing dirt from its place. Meaning, when you take this egg and you stick it in sand, inevitably you're going to have to push the sand with the egg when you stick it in the ground. Sand is mukseh on Shabbat. And therefore, you're moving the sand via the egg. Now true, it's not direct to the tool of mukseh. You're not touching the sand with your hands. You're touching it through the egg. That would be called in mukseh tiltul min hatsad. Indirect mukseh. But Tosafot explains that this opinion holds, this being Rabbi Yosef, tiltul min hatsad is also forbidden in mukseh. So you got the issue. The issue has nothing to do with Todat Hamad. It's got nothing to do with Remetz. Bottom line, it's a mukseh issue. How could you stick an egg in sand without thrusting the egg into the sand a little? It's going to cause the sand to move. That's the way Tosfot understands Rabbi Yosef. Rashi, however, understands differently. Rashi says, we're worried here. Gezerah. What are you worried? We're worried that when the guy gets to stick this sand, this egg into the sand, the hole is not going to be big enough. And what is he going to end up doing? He's going to end up digging. He's going to dig a little in order to get the hole bigger, in order so he can put the sand to cover it. And what's the problem of digging? The problem of digging is one of the isurim on Shabbat is chofer guma, that you're not allowed to dig a hole on Shabbat. So that she's got a different approach here. That she, it's a gezerah that you might come to dig a hole. Now, Rashi is very precise in what he said based on a different text that he had. Look at Rashi, Dibur HaMatchil, Shemme Yaziz Afar. You see that Rashi, Shemme Yaziz Afar? What does that mean? That you might come to displace dirt. Our Girsa is Mepene Shemme Yaziz Afar. Where Rashi's Girsa is Shemme Yaziz Afar. So you see a big difference in Girsaote. According to Tosafot, that learns what? It's definite. That when you stick an egg in sand, you're definitely moving dirt, which is mukseh. That's the Gemara text we have. Mepinesh shemeziz afar. Meaning you are
doing it.
Moving it. You're doing it. However, Rashi's Girsa was shemeyaziz afar. Maybe he'll come to move afar. Meaning Rashi was holding, he's not worried about mukseh. The mukseh issue is tiltul min hatsad. Tiltul min hatsad, it's indirect. That's not an issue of mukseh. What's the issue? Hey, we're worried. The guy might not find a big enough hole. He might come and actually dig it out. And now you have a problem. Now, we're forced to say that Rashi also means that you're going to dig out in order to place the egg in the hole itself. as opposed to dig out in order to get more dirt to cover the egg somewhere else. Because we have a rule. The only time you're hayav for digging a hole on Shabbat is if you need the hole. No, we go back to the rules of Melakah She'ena Tzidikha Ligufa. We hold that to be hayav, it's chofer guma, that you need the hole. But if it's chofer guma, that all you need is the dirt, it would be patur. So that she cannot tell us that it means that we're worried that you might come to be chofer guma. If chofer guma is only Yisud Rabbanan anyway, how could you make a gizara on something that anyway is Rabbanan? So we have to explain in Nashi that we're talking about, where you're actually putting the egg in the hole. Wait, it's not only you need the dirt to cover the egg. You want to use the hole to put the egg in it. So therefore, it's chofer guma letzorech di guma, which would be hayab. So therefore, the Yosef's gizra is that what? I'm not going to allow you to stick it in hole. Why? Not because of toldat chama. Rabbi Yosef allows toldat chama. So what's the issue then? The issue is you might come to dig a hole and stick the egg in the hole. That's Rashi. So in Machloket Rashi v'Tosfot, how to learn? Comes the Gemara and says, "May benayu." What's the nafkamina between the two reasons between Rabba and Rabbi Yosef? Again, Rabba's reason is what Shemayet mean beremitz. Rabbi Yosef's reason is mipene shemiziz or shemayiziz. What's the difference? Ikabenayu afarti hawach, soft dirt. Meaning, according to the opinion, soft dirt. Now, according to the opinion of remitz, I don't care if it's hard dirt or soft dirt. Bottom line, we're not going to let you insulate it in any form of dirt because you might come to do it in remitz, hot ashes. It doesn't matter the consistency of the dirt. But according to the opinion that says that the reason is because you're going to move dirt, well, if it's soft dirt, according to the Tosfot, you can just drop the egg into it and it'll sink in by itself. So you're not actually moving the mukseh with the egg itself. It's happening by itself. You're just dropping it and it slides in. According to that she, you also don't have to worry about digging a digging because it's soft already. Which means, why do you have to dig? It's dug up already. It's soft dirt already. It's easy just to stick it in. You're not going to have to dig out from the ground. So that would be the difference between the reasons. Afar tihawa. Metibe, we have a question. You're allowed to roast an egg on top of a hot roof. How did the roof become hot? From the sun. So they're allowing you to place a egg on top of a hot roof. But limestone that got hot, now limestone gets hot from the fire. You heat up limestone with fire. That's toldat ha'ur. So you're not allowed to heat up an egg through limestone. But that's not our case. We want to know the first case. You're allowed to place an egg on top of a roof. So comes the Gemara and says, according to the opinion that says, in Toldat Hama cases, the only reason why we were Oser Chol sand is because Shemayet Min Beremetz. That makes this case understandable why we don't make a Gezra on a roof. Because a roof, there's no Gezra after Remetz, which is only when you insulate it in sand, then you might come to insulate it in Remetz. But just placing it on a hot roof, then the B.O.C. will say, no problems, we can understand it. But what do you mean? According to the opinion that you might come to move afar, the assumption here is that on the roof there's going to be some dirt as well. And therefore when you put the egg on the roof, what's going to happen? Inevitably you're going to move some dirt. So therefore it should be forbidden. Just like putting it in afar is forbidden, it should be forbidden here as well. Or according to Rashi, we have to say that since there's afar over there, so you have to make a gezerah that somewhere else you might come to dig. Actually, this poses really a little question on Rashi, because really on a roof, it's not much to be concerned about. Unless you want to say the gezerah is, which the Gemara doesn't mention, you might dig a hole in the roof itself. That the Gemara doesn't say. Doesn't say they're gonna dig the hole in the roof. So that's why the Tosafot's questions over here on Nashi, that's a little difficult. The Gemara does answer, but setam gaglet be'afar. Right. A roof doesn't have dirt.
Oh, so if a roof doesn't have dirt, let's review what comes out. A roof doesn't have dirt, so therefore we're telling you it's mutar. Why is it mutar? Well, from the dirt aspect, well, there's no dirt on the roof, so that reason doesn't apply. From the ramets aspect, there's not insulating. Therefore, the ramets reason doesn't apply. So therefore, everybody will tell you to put an egg. Not everybody. Rabbi Yosef will tell you, because Hakamim say you can't put it on the roof, of course, because it's Todat Hama. I don't care. Todat Hama, according to Hakamim, is Asud, because it's Todat Hama. We're talking in Rabbi Yosef. That says Todat Hama is Mutar, but forbids in cases that you can come to Remet, so you can come to Afar. This case, none of those reasons apply. So therefore, it would be permissible. For that case, it's like the case of the Sudarim, that Rabbi Yosef is Matir. In the case of the Sudar, why should you put it on a Sudar? There's no inyan of Hama, we didn't hold it out. There's no inyan of Shema Yitmin Bereim, because you didn't mean it. And there's no inyan of Afar, because on a Sudar there's no Afar, it's the same thing with the roof. Tashema, comes the Gemara and says, come and listen. Mahase, Sha'asu Anshe Tiberia, Veviyu Silon Shil Sonen, Netok Amma Shil Hamin. Alright, our story. Our Gemara story, again, we're explaining this Tiberius story like the Re in Tosafot. Even though, as you see in your Pirush Ha'ayz, there are a few ways to interpret it, we're explaining that you stuck the pipe and you ran it through Hamei Tiberia, a cold pipe of water running through Hamei Tiberia, coming out on the other side. What did the Hakamim say? The water that got heated on Shabbat is Asur. So the Gemara says, now, the assumption here is, how does the hot springs of Tiberias get hot? Natural. Not from the fire. It's not Todat Ta'ur. If anything, Todat Hama. So now the question is, and there the Mishnah is saying what? Everybody says, Hakamim say, Asur. So the question is like this. No, we understand according to the Pidah says, Shema Yatmin Beremetz, that you might come to insulate it in ashes. Hainu de Dam Yalat Mana. Very good. That's why the rabbis, even though it's not Todat Ta'ur, that's why the B'Yosef will agree that the Hamet Tiberia case is Asur, because you might come to put it in Remetz. Again, let's assume that the hot springs is Todat Hama. According to the B'Yosef, it should be Mutar. So why does the Mishnah say it's Asur? Oh, you know why? Shema Yatmin. Whenever the Shema Yatmin B'Remetz is applicable, the B'Yosef will also say it. Well, sticking it, insulating it in water, is similar. The guy will say, what's the difference if I insulated in water? I'll come to insulate it in air. There's a big difference, but he might come to make that mistake. So that we can understand. But according to the opinion that says, the whole reason is, Shema Yaziz Afar, there's no gizana like that in the Hamet Tiberia that I might come to move Afar or make a hole. There's no connection to such a gizana. So therefore, according to that reason, there's a question. Why would Rabbi Yosef or say the case of Hamet Tiberia? Ot pam, if you say that Hamet Tiberia is Todat Hama, let's assume it's Todat Hama. It's not Todat Ta'ur, put it that way. Sure. Todat Hama, so Rabbi Yosef should say no problem. But what does the Mishnah say? It's Asur. Why is it Asur? If you say Shema Yatmin Beremetz, oh, that we understand why it's Asur, because if you're insulating it here, you might come to insulate it over there, that's a problem. But if you say the reason is because Shema Yaziz Afar, or Beperish Shema Yaziz Afar, whatever you're learning, there's no problem. There's no issue. There's no issue of Beperish Shema Yaziz Afar. So why should Rabbi Yosef say Asur? So comes the Gemara and says, Misabat Ma'aseh Tiberia Asifah Ka'eh. Well, you thought that Ma'aseh Tiberia, this story with the Silon running through Tiberia, you thought that that's explaining the Sefa of the Mishnah? What's the Sefa of the Mishnah? You thought that it's coming to discuss the case of the hole, which means the B'Yosef said you can't stick it in dirt. And what you thought, now we're bringing another case where the B'Yosef is going to be Mahmir. Oh, and just like you can't stick it in dirt, next case. So too, you're not allowed to stick it in the Hamei Tiberia. And the reason must be why? Because of Shema Yatmin. That's how you were learning the Mishnah. If you learn the Mishnah like that, you already have a problem. Because it's only going to fit according to the opinion that says Shemi Yatmin Beremetz, but it's not going to fit according to the opinion of Yosef that says Shemi Yaziz Afar. That's not what this case is coming to. This case is not coming to explain the last case of the Mishnah. Ela Aresha Ka'e. It's going on the first case of the Mishnah. What was the first case? The first case of the Mishnah was Lo Yefki Ena Besudarim. Okay, well, I'm reading inside. you're not allowed to crack open an egg on heated scarves from the sun. That's Hachamim. The Rabbi Yosef, Matir. And Rabbi Yosef said, Mutar. Now on that, the rabbis came along and said, V'achi kani l'rabbanan Rabbi Yosef. The rabbis came to Rabbi Yosef and said, Ha ma'aseh d'anche teberia, de todot hamahu, v'asalu rabbanan. The rabbis came and asked a question on Rabbi Yosef with Hamet Teberia. Rabbi Yosef, you say todat hama is permissible, as proven by the case of the Sudar. What do you do with Anshe Teberia? Why do the rabbis forbid it? It's also Todat Hama. Which means that case of Hamet Teberia was actually coming as a question from the rabbis on Rabbi Yosef. Which means, these are the two ways of learning it. We thought that the case of Hamet Teberia was coming as another case where Rabbi Yosef agreed. We thought Rabbi Yosef agreed with Hamet Teberia. And we thought the Mishnah is read as follows. You have the case of Sudarim, where you have the Machloket. You have the case of Chol, where everybody says Asur, even Rabbi Yosef. Oh, and we thought that the Gemara is saying, and just like the Chol is Asur, we have another case that's Asur according to Rabbi Yosef, Hamet Teberia. No, so the Gemara says, that's only going to make sense if you go with the reason of Shemei Yatmin Ben Emetz. That's not going to work out according to the opinion of Afar. So we had a question on that opinion. No, says, no. You learned the Mishnah wrong. The case of Hamet Teberia is not according to Rabbi Yosef. It's a question that the Hachamim asked on Rabbi Yosef. Meaning, Hachamim came along and said, you're not allowed to crack the egg on Sudarim, Todat Hama. Rabbi Yosef said, Mutar. Hachamim came along and said, Rabbi Yosef, how could you say cracking an egg on Sudarim is Mutar? Todat Hama is Mutar? What do you mean? Then why did the rabbis Osir Hamet Teberia? That was a question they were asking on Rabbi Yosef. Oh, so how's Rabbi Yosef going to answer? So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Dehu, Rabbi Yosef will answer, Ha'u todat urhu. His eye at the Tiberias hot springs is heated from fire. Why? Dechalfe apetcha de Gehinnam. Because it says that Tiberias hot springs runs through the gate of Gehinnam. And the gate of Gehinnam is fire. So therefore, I agree with you in principle. Indeed, Hamet Teberia is Asur. But that goes to what you're saying. You're saying it's Asur because it's Todat Hama. I know that's not Todat. It's Todat Ta'ur. Now once you get to Todat Ta'ur, finish. It's Asur because it's Asur. I'm going to start saying Shemmi Yazid Afar, Shemmi Yitmin Berim. Nothing. It's Asur because it's Todat Ta'ur. So that's what Hamet Teberia was coming to say. Comes again when I says, Amar, Rav Chasda. Rav Chasda comes along and says, Mima'aseh Sha'ansu Anche Teberia, from the fact that the people of Tiberias did stick the pipe through, the Asrilu Rabbanan, the rabbis forbade the waters that came through. We see over that it's forbidden to insulate with something that adds heat, even from Friday. Which means we know in the laws of Atmanan insulating that on Erev Shabbat you're not allowed to insulate on something that generates heat. As we learned, you're only allowed to insulate on Erev Shabbat on something that's not Mosif Habal, that just is able to maintain it but not generate. So the Gemara says over here, oh, from the fact that the rabbis forbade this pipe that was set up before Shabbat, because what was happening? The water is going in, and what's happening? It's insulating, it's more than insulating, and it's heating it up. So we see from the fact that the rabbis didn't allow these Anshe Teberia to do it, you see what? That Hatmana is forbidden Bemosif Haval, even Me'erim Shabbat. Comes the Tosafot and says, I need the proof from this story of Anshe Teberia. We learned it's Beferush Mishnah. It's a clear Mishnah that says Atmana is Asur Be'erim Shabbat with Bemosif Haval. So what is Rav Chasda coming along to say? Oh, you know, we learned a great story from the fact that the rabbis will say these guys in Tiberias. What do we learn? That Hatmana and Erev Shabbat is Asur Be'erim Mosif Haval. What are you talking about? This is Beferush Mishnah. So Tosafot answers, no. One of two answers. He said, I could have learned the Mishnah that was saying it's Asur only maybe in twilight, Din Hashem Ashot. Maybe that's when Hatmanan Erev Shabbat Medavar HaMosif Aval is Asur. From the story of the Anshe Teberia, you see, even
before
Bereshit, even in the day, Mebe'od Yom. That's one answer. Second answer, all you see from that Mishnah later on is what? That you're not allowed to do it. But from here you see, if you did it, you're not allowed to benefit from it. That's already another hadush. So all the Mishnah later on just tells us what? Hatmanan Erev Shabbat. Are you allowed to make Hatmanan B'Devar HaMosif Aval? No. But let's say you did it. Well, the Mishnah didn't discuss that. Can you eat the food? Could you benefit from it? But from the Anshei Tiberia, what did the rabbi say? If it was done on Shabbat, you can't bathe with it, and you can't drink it. So that's what Rav Chasdai was coming to say. That you learn from Ma'aseh Anshei Tiberia, from the fact the rabbis forbade it, that Hatmanah that was done on Shabbat becomes off limits, becomes Asur. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Ula, Halakha Ki Anshei Tiberia. Oh. Ola comes along and says, Halakha follows on Anshei Tiberia. What is Ola saying? He's arguing on a Mishnah? What is he saying exactly? I'm allowed to make Hatmana, Me'erib Shabbat, B'davar Mosif Aval? Why can he say such a thing? What does Ola mean when he says Halakha ka Anshei Tiberia? This is a very difficult statement to understand. Because Anshei Tiberia actually did it. They held you allowed to do it. How could Ula will sick like them? So the explanation that the Taba says is like this. 2 points. We have a mahloket where Tiberias Hot Springs gets its heat from. According to the Biyoseh, it's Todat Ta'ur. It receives it from the fire. So therefore, Tamei Tiberias is off limits, no question. But the rabbis, they held this Todat Hamma. Now, the rabbis held it, doesn't matter. Todat Hamma is also Asur according to them. But fine. So, Ula is going to hold like this. He's going to synthesize two opinions together. He'll say, yeah, I hold that Hamet Tiberia is Todat Hamma. He has a right to hold that it's Todat Hamma. And I hold like Nabi Yosef that says, that Todat Hamma is Mutar. And therefore, no problem. And the whole reason of making a gezerah is because of Shema Yaziz Afar. And since this doesn't apply over here, therefore, Ula will say, I go like Anshei Tiberia. What? I made a puzzle over here. The Ritma says, well, I could hold that Hamei Tiberia is Todat Hamma. Right? We have an opinion like that. I could hold like Nabi Yosef that holds Todat Hamma is no problem. And I could hold that what? That the only time when we will gozer on things of Todat Hamma is because of the reason of Shema Yatmin. Now, Shema Yatmin is a problem. But I hold the reason is Shema Yaziz Afar. Here there are gezerah of Shema Yaziz Afar. There's no Afar, I'm sticking it in water. So that's why I go like and share Tiberia. But not for their reasons. Means I'm able to... I can figure out a way to stick that pipe through Hamei Tiberia and Erev Shabbat without any... Without any issues. No hatmana issues. Why? Because it's Todat Hamma. Just like there's no problem of cooking in Todat Hamma, there's no problem making hatmana in Todat Hamma. Like Hakamim that say this is Todat Hamma. And like Rabbi Yosef that says Todat Hamma is Mutar. Finish, that's what Allah said. Comes again when Allah says, Amal Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Kevat Tavrinu Anshei Tiberia Lesilunayu. He said, you should know anyway, even the Anshei Tiberia, they broke their pipe. Which means even Anshei Tiberia stopped doing it. Which means they themselves broke their pipe, they agreed to the rabbis, they stopped doing it over here. So they retracted from their behavior. Now let's get to the case of Ma'aseh Anshei Tiberia regarding the bathing issue. What did the rabbi say? The rabbi said like this. If it was heated on Shabbat, so the water is off limits. You can't drink it, and you can't bathe with it. Okay? So comes the Gemara and says, well, what type of bathing? There's always two types of bathing that we discuss in Halakha. Full body or panav yadav v'raglav. Okay? Or that's just your hands, your face, your hands, and your feet. Those are the two levels of bathing. So we want to know, when the rabbi said it's asur to bathe, what level? Now, always keep in mind, gentlemen, that bathing on Shabbat, obviously you cannot heat water on Shabbat to take any sort of bathing. That's forbidden. Water that was heated on Shabbat is off limits, obviously. However, water that was heated from before Shabbat technically should be permissible to take even a full body bath. However, it was permissible at a time in Jewish history. But what happened was, we were concerned about the bathhouse attendants. Those are called the ballanim. It's called gezerat ballanim or gezerat min hasaot. What happened? These guys who were running the bathhouses, they were coming along and heating water on Shabbat. And they were telling the customers and the rabbis, no, 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 we heated it from before Shabbat. So therefore they ruined it for everybody. So the rabbi said, you know what? Not only is water on Shabbat, but day asur, but even water before Shabbat is asur. Now, what did they forbid, but the rabbi? They didn't go so far. They said, water that's heated before Shabbat, at one point they said, is only forbidden if you take full body bath. But panavia david aglav, but if you want to, you know, wash your hands with water from before Shabbat, then they said, is mutar. So that you have to know a little history of how it worked. Now, based on this, the Gemara says. Gemara says, "My rechitza." What was this rechitza that the rabbi said is forbidden? Yeah, the rabbi said, "Oh, this silon ran through Hamet Tiberi on Shabbat. You cannot bathe with it." If it's talking about taking a full bath with his whole body, it's because why? These waters were heated on Shabbat. If the only reason why they didn't let them take a full body Shabbat is because it was heated on Shabbat. If it was heated from before Shabbat, it would be permissible. What are you talking about? Then we learn in the Braita, Hamin Shuhamu Me'erib Shabbat. Even water that was heated from before Shabbat, lemaharu hetz ben panav yadav v'raglav. You can only bathe panav yadav v'raglav with them. Aval lo kol gufo. So therefore, that cannot be the case. Which means when the rabbis came along and said it's forbidden to bathe, what do you think? It means they're forbidden to bathe full body? Or why? Because it was heated on Shabbat, implying if the water was heated from before Shabbat, full body is mutar. No, even if it was heated from before Shabbat, still full body is asur. Only panav yadav v'raglav is mutar. So that cannot be the case. Ela panav yadav v'raglav. Oh, so it must be when the rabbi said, you're not allowed to bathe, they meant, since it was heated on Shabbat, you cannot even bathe panav yadav v'raglav. Implying, well, but if it was heated from before Shabbat, panav yadav v'raglav would be permissible. Oh, that works out. Well, it doesn't work out. Ema sefa, because the Yom Tov case is going to not work out. Because Ema sefa said in the sefa, be Yom Tov, if they heated this water in Hamet Tiberi on Yom Tov, what did the Mishnah say? Kehamin chuhamu be Yom Tov. It's considered like water that was heated on Yom Tov. The asurin b'chitza umutarin b'shtiya. Now, what does asurin b'chitza mean? Since it was heated on Yom Tov, we're going to forbid you to do panav yadav v'raglav. Now, who's the rabbi that holds on Yom Tov if you heat water, you cannot even wash panav yadav v'raglav? The Gemara is going to say that's Bet Shammai. Now, we don't want to make a Mishnah like Bet Shammai. Bet Shammai holds the only way you can wash your panav yadav v'raglav on Yom Tov is only if you heated water for eating purposes, and then you had some leftover, then you can use a panav yadav v'raglav. But to heat it for panav yadav v'raglav v'chetachina asur according to Bet Shammai. So if you learn the Mishnah like this, the only way to establish it would be like Bet Shammai. Let's see why again, boys. If you heated it on Shabbat, the rabbi said asur l'chitza. What are we explaining l'chitza to mean? Asur to do panav yadav v'raglav. Very good, because it was heated on Shabbat. Implying if it was heated from before Shabbat, panav yadav v'raglav mutar. Good, that works out. Now let's apply it to Yom Tov. But if it was heated on Yom Tov, the chitza is asur, the Mishnah said. What type of the chitza is this over here? The chitza of panav yadav v'raglav. Who's the rabbi that says on Yom Tov if water was heated, panav yadav v'raglav is asur? That's Bet Shammai. We wouldn't want to establish a Mishnah like Bet Shammai, so that option also does not work out. Now, how do we know Bet Shammai says you can't even use panav yadav v'raglav on Yom Tov if you heat it on Yom Tov? It says lema tanan stamak Bet Shammai. What are you going to make a Mishnah like Bet Shammai? Ditna, we learned in Mishnah Bet Shammai omnim lo yachem adam chamin v'raglav. Person on Yom Tov cannot heat up water to wash his legs. Elaim ken duim l'shtiya. Unless they're worthy to drink. Meaning if you did it for drinking purposes and you have leftovers, Bet Shammai says it's okay. But the Chetayla to do it just for bathing purposes, asur. U'betinel matirim. U'betinel says it's okay. So therefore we're stuck. How do you explain the Mishnah? You cannot explain the Mishnah bathing in Panav Yadav V'Raglav because you're going to run into a problem on Yom Tov. Because by saying that Panav Yadav V'Raglav is Asur on Yom Tov, that can only be like Bet Shammai. We don't want to make a Mishnah like Bet Shammai. So now we come to explain the Mishnah. Amar of Ika Bar Hananya Leshtatef Baim Kol Gufo Askinam. We're not talking about baths. We're talking about showers. Leshtatef. Leshtatef means we're actually having the water poured on you. Now, why does Leshtatef change variables here? Because you have to remember, in the bathhouse, they used to take baths. So it's possible to make gezerot by baths, but still allow showering. Which means when the rabbis made their gezerah, that we don't want you to use water that was heated from before Shabbat and all that, you know, you could make differences between, yeah, for bathing, like it was in the bathhouse. But maybe for showering, it's okay. And actually we're going to see, we have a three-way machloket amongst three tanaim regarding the law of showering on Shabbat. And what is it? It says, V'hai Tana hu de Tanya, and our Mishnah is following the Tana of the following Braita. Let's see the Braita. Lo yishtatef Adam kol gufo ben bachamin ben besonen devrei b'meir. Rabbi Meir says, you heated water from before Shabbat, you're not allowed to, not only not allowed to bathe, that already we established, but he says you're not even allowed to shower as well. Showering was also part of the Gezerah. And not only hot water, but the Rabbi Meir is the most, I mean, he says you're not even allowed to shower in cold water. Now what's that? I mean, I can understand you want to extend the Gezerah from bathing to showering, but what's the cold water issue? So the Ritva explains, because in the olden days, after they used to come out of the mikveh, they used to take a cold shower. So therefore, if a guy sees somebody taking a cold shower, say, oh, you just must come out of the mikveh. So it must be going to the bath is permissible. So therefore, the cold shower is going to be a gezerah to the hot shower, to the hot bath. So therefore, he will say that also. That's the Bimeir. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Shimon, however, says, if it was heated from before Shabbat, everything mutar. For showering. Jeez, he does not say that the rabbis made a gezerah on showering. Yes, the rabbis made a gezerah by baths. However, showering, heated before Shabbat, cold mutar for sure, hot also mutar. Oh, now let's analyze right away. So I can say the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon, meaning this water was heated on Shabbat. Right? So what did the rabbis say? The rabbis came along and said, you cannot rochetz. What do you mean cannot rochetz? They meant, you cannot take a shower with this water. Why? Because it was heated on Shabbat. Implying what? That if it was heated before Shabbat, mutar. Whose opinion is that? Rabbi Shimon, that allows taking a shower with the water that was heated from before Shabbat. So we found a derech for our Mishnah. And what's the case of Yom Tov? The case of Yom Tov would be, when the rabbis told you, it's asur, if it was heated on Yom Tov, it's going to be asur. Yeah, on Yom Tov, if you heat it, it's going to be asur. Why? Because Bet Hillel holds the only time when you heat water on Yom Tov, you can only use it for Panav Yadav V'Raglav. But for a full body, no, it's a perfect. It works out very good. Now there's a third shita regarding showering. That's the Bi'uda. The Bi'uda Omer, Bechamin Asur Besonen Mutar. He splits the ticket. He says, Chamin Asur, but Sonen, permissible, called Mutar. So we have three shitot. Let's review the three shitot quickly. Rabbi Meir, the most mahmir, he says, showering, hamin, sonen, asur, even on water that was heated before Shabbat. Go to the other extreme. Rabbi Shimon, he says what? Everything mutar. Heated before Shabbat, all showers are mutar. Full body. According to Rabbi Yehuda, depends. Hot, asur, cold, mutar. Our Mishnah will be following Rabbi Shimon. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Chisda, and Rav Chisda gives one condition. Machloket bekli. The machloket over here amongst the rabbis is only where the water that you're taking from is in a vessel. Meaning the water, let's say, is in a vessel. Hot water in a vessel. and you're pouring it on you, like a shower, you're pouring it on you. Then already we have a machloket, which means Rabbi Shimon will say mutar, and Rabbi Yehuda will say asur. What's the reason why Rabbi Yehuda will say asur? Because when you have it in a kli, people are going to look at this and say, how did he heat this over here? How did he heat this? You see hot water in a kli. It's got to be that somehow there was fire involved there to heat this water. So a guy might come, now Chazal Shalom, he's not going to come now to put water on a fire on Shabbat. That we don't suspect him to do. But we suspect him that he might come to take cold water and pour it into hot water. Now pouring cold water into hot water on Shabbat is asur as well, because you're cooking the, you know, you put a little drops of cold water into a big thing of hot water. That hot water is the ability to cook the cold water. So he says, in a keli, the b'yudas machmir. Why? I don't want you to use this water. Because if you're going to use this hot water, even if it was heated from before Shabbat. We're talking about it's heated before Shabbat. The b'yudas says, don't use it. Why? Because a guy might come and say, how did this get heated? No, I don't know. Maybe that's what he did. Maybe the guy over here took hot water and he added cold water in it to make it, you know, usable for a shower, and he might come to do that himself. Asur. However, Rabbi Shimon will say, stop it, keli is mutar. I don't make such gezerot. Aval bekarka devra kol mutar. But if it's in karka, meaning if it's in the ground, karka, what is karka? You have, let's say, a built-in pool in the ground, let's say. Everybody will say mutar, meaning, get the case. You have hot water in the ground. Even the Biyuda will say, you could take that hot water and pour it on you on Shabbat. What's the logic? Why? Why is karka mutar? Because karka, everybody knows, maintains heat. Therefore, when I come along on Shabbat and I see hot water in the ground, what am I going to say? Oh, this is already heated from before Shabbat, and it's still hot. No one's going to come to make gezerot. So the Biyuda will agree and say what? This water in the karka, no problem. You're allowed to take a shower with it. Okay, the only machloka was in a kli. Comes and says, what are you talking about? The story of Anshei Teberia, where was the water? Anshei Teberia is in the ground. Right? And what did the rabbi say? The rabbi said that it was heated on Shabbat. Yeah? It was heated on Shabbat. So the rabbis came along and said, Anshei Teberia, this water is forbidden. Now, implying what? Implying that if it was done from before Shabbat, this would be mutar. There's no issues over here. So what the Gemara is saying over here is Veha Ma'aseh Anshei Teberia, the case of Ma'aseh Anshei Teberia, which is in our Mishnah, Bekarka Hava, the case was talking about in Karka, which was obviously the Hamid Teberia is in the ground, Ve'aseh Lehu Rabbanan, and the rabbis forbade it, which means they forbade it on Shabbat, implying what? That before Shabbat, this would be permissible. Which means, what are we talking about? We learned our Mishnah is talking about Nishtatif, which is the rabbis forbade to take a full shower because it was what? Hamichu, Hamu b'Shabbat, and it was in Karka. Implying what? That if it was before Shabbat, it was heated in the Karka, it would be permissible. And you're just telling me now, the Gemara is just telling me what? That Avchazda says that Bekarka, there is no argument amongst the Hachamim. Everybody agrees Bekarka, Hamim Shuhamu Me'erev Shabbat is Mutan Shtatev Kol Gufo. So why did you tell me Rav Ika Bar Hananya? Why did you tell me that Al Mishnah is Dafka going like Rabbi Shimon? If Al Mishnah is talking about Karka, Al Mishnah can even going like Rabbi Yehuda, because their argument was not in Karka, their argument was in Kelim. So therefore, Rav Hananya, Rav Ika Bar Hananya said, "Lishtatef ba'en kol gufo askinan ve'hai tanahu." V'hai tana, he's saying it's this tana. Which tana is he referring to? He said it's Mishnah is only going like Rabbi Shimon. Why do you have to say that? Now that you tell me that Bekarka, everybody holds mutar, the Mishnah can even be going like Rabbi Yehuda. Again, because our Mishnah is talking about what? B'Shabbat. B'Shabbat asur l'shtatef kol gufo. B'Erev Shabbat, mutar. And that's exactly the opinions that you're telling me now. B'Karka, everybody would agree, B'Erev Shabbat is mutar. The only argument was in Kerim. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elai Yitmar, Haki Yitmar. If you want to answer or explain the Mahloket, say it like this. Mahloket B'Karka. The contrary, the Mahloket of the Hachamim, the Bishamon and the Bihuda was said when the water is in the karka, aval bekli devrei kol asur. But in a keli, everybody will say asur. Also, now very good. Machloket bekarka. And what's the machloket? We're talking about you have water that you heated from before Shabbat, and you kept it in the karka. You kept it in the ground. According to the Bihuda, he's going to say hamin is asur. He's going to make a gezerah even in karka. Rabbi Shimon will tell you karka is mutar. Oh, very good. So who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon, because Hamet Tiberia is in the Karka. It was Hamin Chuhamu Beshabbat. The rabbi said Asur. Why? Because it was on Shabbat. However, if it was done before Shabbat, it would be Mutar. Like who? Like Rabbi Shimon. Very good. That's exactly what Rav Ika. Right? Rav Ika Bar Hananya said in his answer. Ki Hai Tana, meaning it's going like Rabbi Shimon. So bottom line, at this point, if you would interpret our Mishnah, when you went back and said Maaseh Anshei Tiberia, that they put the silon in the water and the water got heated up, and the rabbi said, oh, it's like water that was heated on Shabbat, v'asur b'chitza. Asur b'chitza pirush, asur lehishtatef bo kol gufo. It's forbidden to shower in those waters his entire body. Something that would be permissible, however, if it was done Me'erib Shabbat lefi shitat Rabbi Shimon, that says that even in Karka they were mekel leishtatef, and therefore the answer is good. Amar Rabba Bar Hanna. Again, Amar Rabba Bar Hanna. Amar Rabbi Yohanan Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. But in Halacha we follow Rabbi Yehuda that says what? Leishtatef behamin b'Shabbat. Even on water shiuchamu me'ayirib Shabbat is going to be asur. So we take the bihuda, which is osir b'hamin, but matir b'sonin, but allows you to take a cold shower on Shabbat. Okay, that's the shita of the bihuda. So we don't take the extreme opinions. We actually take the middle opinion that was osir hamin and matir sonin. Amar le Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef said, b'ferush shami'alach. Did you explicitly hear this from Rabbi Yohanan that the halakha is like Rabbi Yehuda, or mechlala shamiyalach, or did you hear it from an implication, from something that he said and you implied it? So comes the Gemara and says, "Maichlala." What would be the implication that he would have gotten this from? The Amar of Tanhum, Amar of Yohanan, Amar of Yanai, Amar Rabbi, Kol makom shata motze shnayim halukim. Anytime you have a machloket of two rabbis arguing, the had machriya, and one is a machriya. We'll interpret what a machriya is in a second. Halacha kedivrei machriya. The halacha follows the opinion of the machriya. What is a machriya? So I'll explain it to you. Let's use our case as an example. Our case, you have a three-way machloket. Rabbi Meir, extreme Mahmir, everything is Asur. Rabbi Shimon, totally lenient, everything Mutar, Hamin and Sonen. And the Biuda will be the Machriya over here. What does the Machriya mean? So we explain it like this, is the way that she says it on the Amud Rishon. Let's take Hamin. Well, you have Rabbi Shimon that says Hamin is Mutar. So he's on one side of the scale. You have Rabbi Meir that says Hamin is Asur. He's on the other side of the scale. Now, who tips the scale in the favor of saying Hamin is Asur? Well, Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda says also Hamin is Asur. So he makes Hamin two against one. So therefore, he's the Makhriya. He's the one that outweighs Legabe Hamin. Now let's take Sonen. Sonen, Rabbi Meir said Asur. While Rabbi Meir said Mutar. So in Sonen you also have one against one. Comes the Machriya Rabbi Yehuda and says Sonen is Mutar. So he outweighs the side of Sonen. So that's called the Makhriya, the one that outweighs the Shitot. When it comes to Hamin, Rabbi Yehuda outweighs, meaning he's the one that tips the scales in favor of the Osrim of Hamin. When it comes to Sonen, he's the one that outweighs and makes the Sonen the two against one. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan made a statement. Halakha always follows the Makhriya, except. There's always an except. And what's the except? Chutz mikune matlaniyot. Except in the case of the kune matlaniyot, those rags that were used for inferior purposes. If you remember early in the second perek, we learned about the machloket kune matlaniyot. These were rags that measured more than 3x3 etzba'ot, but they were less than 3x3 tefachim. Mm-hmm. And you used to take them to stuff up the, you know, the mikveh, or the water, the pipe. And the whole question over there was, are they chashuv? But since you designated it for a purpose, do they maintain chashuv and do they receive tum'ah? So we had a whole question. We had a whole machloket. We had different cases. Well, if you put it in a box, then it shows that you are interested in it, then it can be mekabel tumah. If you throw it in the garbage, then we said it shows that you're not interested in it. But we had a machlok. What if you do something in between a box and the garbage? For example, you hang it up on a peg, or you place it behind the door. So there already we had a machlok over there. We had three shitot. The shitot over there were Rabbi Eliezer, Sha'afal Pi Shirabbi Eliezer Mahmir. Rabbi Eliezer was the most mahmir. He said, in all cases, unless you throw it out in the garbage, the kulei matanyot are tameh. Rabbi Eliezer was mahmir. The Rabbi Yeshua Mekel, he went the other way. He said, if you don't put it in a box, it's like putting it in the garbage, all the other cases, and therefore it is tahor. The Rabbi Akiva Machriya. Rabbi Akiva was in the middle. He made a compromise. So now normally, the halakha should follow Rabbi Akiva. Yeah. So Rabbi Yochanan made his statement. Always you follow the Makhriya, except in that case of Kulei Matlaniyot, and halakha kedivrei Makhriya. Why? Hada the Rabbi Akiva Talmidu. First of all, Rabbi Akiva is a Talmid of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. So you don't take a halakha, even in the Makhriya, if he's a Talmid. Ve'od, and furthermore, Hadar be Rabbi Akiva legebed Rabbi Yoshua. As we learned earlier, Rabbi Akiva eventually retracted his statement. And eventually Rabbi Akiva ended up holding like Rabbi Yoshua, that what? That it always is tahor unless you put it in a kufsa. So therefore, the reason why you don't call it like Rabbi Akiva is either because he's a Talmid, or because he retracted his statement, so he was no longer the Makhriya. So that would be the implication. Where Rabba would have gotten it from. Which means Rabba didn't hear anything from Rabbi Yochanan regarding the case of showering on Shabbat. He just knew that there was a three-way machloket, and he knew that Rabbi Yehuda was the Makhriya. So Rabba made a statement. Rabbi Yochanan says that Halakha kedivrei Makhriya like Rabbi Yehuda. So they said, did you hear that explicitly, or did you hear that from an implication? So the Gemara says, what would the implication be? Well, the implication would be this statement. Which means Rabbi Yochanan didn't say specifically the case of Berhasaot, of taking a shower. He just said, you always go like the Makhriya, except in Kulei Matlaniyot. So, the Gemara says, is that the implication? Is that where Rabba got his information from? So the Gemara says, V'imichlala mai. Yeah. And if he did get it from an implication, so what? Which is, what's the problem? Which is, this is a very good implication, which means from this statement, you really can draw to the conclusion that the Biyuda is the Makhriya, and Halakha should be like him. Which means, what's so bad if he got it from a implication? So the Gemara says, no, Dil Mahani Mile B'Matnitin, Abad B'Baraita Lo. Which means, where did the Yochanan make his statement that the Halakha is like the Makhriya? He was discussing in cases of a Mishnah. This case of Kulei Matlaniyot is a Mishnah. So I could say like this. Rabbi Yochanan made a statement, you always go like the Makhriya in Mishnayot, except for Kulei Matlaniyot. Our case over here of this Mahloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir is a Braita. which means maybe in the Braitot, you don't go like a Machne, which means once already it's an implication, I could start picking it apart. I could start saying, well, he said what he said. He said it Dafka where he said it, by Mishnayot. But who said he said it by Braitot and Halachas like the Machliya? And even more, the way Tosfot explains it is, here you have a Braita that the Biyudah is the Machliya. But you have Al Mishnah that's posek like Rabbi Shimon. So you have a Braita, Machliya, and a Mishnah that's Rabbi Shimon. So in that case, maybe you go like the Mishnah as opposed to the Braita. So therefore, the implication lends itself to question. So Rabba comes along and says, Amar le, ana befirush amiyali. He says, don't worry, I heard it explicitly. Rabbi Yochanan said explicitly, in the case of the Ishtatef, Halakha follows Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, there is no question regarding Braitot, Mishnayot. He said it explicitly that Halakha follows Rabbi Yehuda.